Here's why I think it sucks. Because landlords have no rights. Mm-hmm. So you know that if you try to like play hardball or stand your ground as a landlord, they can screw you over so bad. Well, we were just talking about how being a landlord kind of sucks in Ontario.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's
like
just
it really,
so
it,
skewed, man.
It really does. I wouldn't say I'm starting to hate real estate.
Okay. Sounds like you're saying
no, it. So hear me out here. Even from when I started my real estate career, I remember because I was managing it myself, and I remember like thinking to myself, like, this fucking sucks. It's because you're dealing with people like nonstop, but it's always people that the majority want to try to figure out a way how to fuck you over or fuck you or take your money or not pay you.
Well, depending on where your what class your property is, I'll say that's true.
No, it's not. It's not true. It just happens less.
Okay. Well, I don't have any tenants trying to screw me over except in the lower end stuff. But I want to throw one thing out there.
Dude, I have had across the board. When in the better quality property, less just happens. That's what I can say. I've seen it across the board. My better shit, my class A, you know, single family homes in amazing neighborhoods. Yeah, you hear a lot less from them.
I had a stupid
but
call.
But you still have issues.
I had a call yesterday at a you know, super high end property, like $2,600 a month for one floor of a triplex. And you know, it's like, hey, I need some salt. Can you go pick it up for me? And I'm like, yeah, you know what? This is technically the landlord's responsibility, but like, go get your own salt. Like, yeah. Just go to the store. But here's why I think it sucks.
Be careful what kind of salt you get, eh?
Yep. Here's why I think it sucks. Because landlords have no rights. Mm-hmm. So you know that this, if you try to like play hardball or stand your ground as a landlord, they can screw you over so bad that you have to tiptoe around every little thing, right?
Yeah.
You can't argue with them. You can't debate with them. If they're late on rent, you got to be careful because if you hit them with the notice and all of a sudden they trash your place, you'll never get... Like, it's so skewed that it makes the experience really crappy for landlords. So that's my opinion. But touch on that. That's the big thing.
Yeah, it's like, honestly, having a portfolio of a good amount of property, like, that's the difference, right? If you have a few properties, you're probably not going to experience, like, what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when you have like hundreds of doors. It's fucking like nonstop bullshit. And it's here's the difference. Here's what I'm explaining to you. You know how I obviously just took over BioSteel.
You don't say.
It's the same amount of bullshit. Like it's. I shouldn't say that.
Like running BioSteel is similar to this real estate portfolio.
Yeah. Like it's the same. It's the same. Because I have. Maybe that's an exaggeration. I shouldn't say it's the same amount of bullshit and headache as running like a big company like a BioSteel, not even running it, putting it back together. The fucking ROI is not even in the same fucking realm of earth. For me to get the same type of ROI that we're projecting with, you know, BioSteel, I'd have to own like $1 billion worth of property.
No,
like
no,
I really would. Prior to taking over BioSteel, I was a big portion of my day was consistently underwriting properties. So like, do you consider the work that you put in if you want to keep your real estate portfolio stagnant, mm-hmm. or do you want to grow it? Because if you truly do want to grow it and you're making the right decisions, you're spending hours a day underwriting property. You're spending how many hours a day looking, just sifting through property and opportunities?
All day, every day.
Are you going to consider that not work? Mm-hmm. You see what I'm trying to say?
That's a good point. Yeah, for
so,
sure.
So for me, although like this is putting the puzzle pieces, like putting the puzzle back together, it's still work, but I'd just be spending that time looking at properties and sifting through. Like I actually, even during this, I get so many, like I don't know what the fuck happened, but all of a sudden I get like an obscene amount of emails a day. I started to kind of really reduce my inbox velocity of emails coming through, and then all of a sudden this fucking hits, and it's just like hundreds a day.
Yeah, are you saying you're done with real estate?
No, I'm not saying that.
Just check.
So what I am, I will tell you this: what I am done with is trying to just scale the portfolio at any means possible, even from like the Coachwood perspective. Mm. I think moving forward, what I'm going to do is, because I already built out the logistics, I already built out the whole system to be able to do it. I'm just going to focus on number one, people that when the market changes, I don't have to worry about somebody that has $20,000 invested, like barking up my ass, wondering like what's going on with the distributions.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
That's annoying, mm-hmm. right? Like from the onset, we all know how real estate operates. It's market dependent. It's also, you shouldn't be buying a couple $100,000 worth of real estate expecting that to fund your lifestyle, right? With respect to cash flow. You need a lot of real estate to be able to fund your lifestyle. I don't even know that I'd be able to do it now. You know what I mean? You need
a lot and probably time.
Yeah. And not only like, I think I have like a few million bucks coming in from cash flow, but then you have all of these unforeseen circumstances come up, right? I got a boiler that I got to replace at Canton Manor right now. Mm. Who the fuck knows what that's going to come in at? Like, that's not a cheap thing.
No doubt.
So all of a sudden, boom, there goes... Who knows how much, reserves, right? Yeah. Exactly. So, and then you've got all of these weird unforeseen expenses, right? Like you're talking about tenants trashing your place or tenants not paying your rent.
Yep.
Like what happens to your cash flow on one property? So say your cash flow, you've got $100 or $200 worth of positive cash flow a month. Your tenant not even trashes the place. Your tenant's a little bit more rough than normal, where you got to clean the carpet, you got to resand the floors and you got to paint. There's minimum a couple grand there.
Yeah,
so then what?
Year of cash flow.
Exactly. Yeah. So you can't, like, cash flow is there to kind of pay the bills. And then if you're lucky, you still have some extra. Mm-hmm. It's only until, like, you really get some scale that you're replacing your income with real estate.
Yeah, and sometimes time will do it too. Like, I bought properties where the rent's, like, literally doubled in couple years. So now all of a sudden you have this margin. But
how long did it take you to get there?
Yeah, four or 5 years, and you hit the right market. Like, yeah. It's kind of a fluke. But, yeah, you're not buying freedom with like a duplex or triplex or fourplex.
No, so for me, I'm only going to really focus on like hitting those home run deals like one buddy there was preaching, and only bringing in key people. I'm not going to, and people that have money where it's like, listen, I'm in it for the long haul, and based off of the, you know, the picking the right market, the right locations, and forcing value, that's where the money is. Not like this fucking... I can't control what happens in Florida. I can't control the fact that insurance fucking skyrocketed mm-hmm. in Florida and it cut our cash flow. Like, I can't... And to explain to somebody that and then have them, like, fire off 10 emails, like, rapid fire for 20 grand, like, I can't... Like that's the stuff that's what's getting me a little bit more bitter with respect to real estate, only because of that, right? Because dealing with that is such a time suck, and it gets in my head because I'm controlling people's money and I know how important that is to people, but from my perspective, the ROI on my time in dealing with that and the amount of money I make off that guy, like I'm losing money. So for me, like, it just...
Well, there's the old saying, the $1 million client is easier to deal with than 100%. The $100,000 client. It's just different perspectives, different mentalities. If you have a lot of money, you know what it takes to get the money, so you know stuff happens and...
Yeah. Exactly.
You know all the stuff in between.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I wouldn't be asking questions, but at least I would understand. That's why we put those stipulations in there. Like, hey, listen.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, yeah. I had all the information. I made the decision.
Yeah.
This happened. Yeah, that's part of the game.
Yeah.
Let's move on and deal with it.
Yeah. No like emotions. Those other guys, I think, what is it? Like Vigier, I think his name is. I can't remember exactly. That's kind of what my take is on it and why I think I got to like refocus a little bit. You know
yeah,
I mean?
You would do that. By just higher investment from the start, right? You need a minimum of X amount. That's going to filter out.
Yeah, and filter out a lot of people. But also, I want to work with people that are on the same page.
It's just easier.
It really is, easier. And not even like, and not even from. I almost want to even figure out like where. Hey, we're just all in it together, mm-hmm. and there's like no like, you know, maybe we do even like a smaller cut at the end, just because. You know, obviously I need to pay myself back, or maybe even a smaller cut and like a little bit of cash flow so that we can pay people to actually like run the business aspect of things. But it's more about like bringing in the right people to just scale it.
And not even
trying to get the money. It's, hey, let's all collectively get in on this deal. This is a great deal. And it's not like I don't even have to produce like a fucking pitch deck. You know what I'm saying? I just, all these people are, we're all on the same page. we all understand real estate. That's it. You know,
yeah, I had some smaller stuff, but me and a builder that's focusing on building like ADUs and multi units and up to 10 units, that type of thing. Him and I were trying to like look for other investors to go and do this at scale because all these incentives. So we've had a couple calls with different groups of people that call themselves investors. And there's a stark difference when you can tell when these people are not on the same mindset as you because they're asking the wrong questions. It's all fear. It's all, what if this happens? What if that happens? What if this happens? It's like, yeah, look, we can't control that stuff. We don't have the same mindset. And you hop on a call with some other people and their mindset is just way bigger. And they're like, hey, they're asking the right question. They're asking the big picture questions. What's the 20-year vision? What's the cash flow over 20 years? Where do we see the market going? And it's like, yeah, we can't work with these people. You can't scale. They're going to slow you down. You need the right mindset. So totally see what you're saying. And there's a lot of appetite for Coachwood still.
Yeah.
Like there's people messaging me all the time. Hey, what's going on in the U.S.? What's going on in the U.S.? Rates are 8%. We can't find any deals, right?
Yeah. The U.S. is like, it's just a fucking biosteel just taking my time right now. Yeah, just no is dope. What it is.
Yeah. Hopefully, I mean, I'm sure it'll get easier as you get this.
100%. And don't get me wrong. I still have an affinity for real estate. It's
a combination of a crappy market environment.
Yeah.
Filled with uncertainty, high rates, cash flow is minimal. Yeah. If you can even find any.
Yeah.
Like what? What are you gonna do? Right?
Yeah, like for me to hit a home run, like it's a value add play. It's gonna take time, and right now, like my time is focused on this. And I think people, if they were interested in Coachwood, I think that they should at least maybe even have some solace in the fact that like I'm just not trying to buy anything to keep the ball rolling.
It's, absolutely,
I'm still looking. Don't get me wrong; like, I'm still looking, but I'm ultra selective now.
Yeah,
I only want to hit deals that I'm comfortable hitting one a year at this point. One, two a year, three a year, maybe. I'd like to have one every quarter, maybe every. You know,
it went from one a year to one every quarter.
It's not like three like that. You know what I mean? Like, you know, but smaller, right? Like where they're home run deals. We're not trying to, you know, blow our brains out trying to find funding. You know what I'm saying? Like, because that also not knowing if the funding is going to be able to, you know, if these deals aren't going to be able to be funded, like that's a huge stressor, man.
Yeah, you get something under contract and then you have to go raise the money.
It's a huge stressor.
Yeah.
Especially when it's not like your main focus. And that's why I'm like, fuck, man, like, you know, the money you make from real estate isn't comparable to the money that you can make with this stuff. And for me to focus a lot of my energy on that, it was being focused on that because I didn't have anything else. And Canadian Protein was running super smooth. Like, dude, listen, like Costco just came to us with a $40 million deal.